Hi, this is Jim.
And this is Max.
Check out our podcast, The Step Over, Liberty Ballers Podcast Network, for all of your Sixers needs.
Player analysis, game breakdowns, who would look coolest in a headband, and more.
Subscribe to Liberty Ballers Podcast feed on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts, and check out The Step Over, a podcast about Sixers basketball.
Mostly.
Batting for the Phillies, John Stolness.
Hey there, podcast pals, and welcome back to another edition of Hittin' Season. This is episode number 239, a special bonus winter meetings edition of Hittin' Season. I'm John Stolness from SB Nation's Phillies blog, The Good Fight. You can follow me on Twitter at John Stolness. Lots of news to report. The Phillies make a big free agent signing, bringing Andrew McCutchen into the fold. We're going to break that down here in just a few minutes and give you the latest news and rumors as we record this podcast here on Tuesday night. And joining me is the Sunday night crew, Justin Clue, Phillies writer for The Good Fight. You can follow Justin on Twitter at Justin_Clue. Justin, things are happening.
See, I was going to make a joke about the Phillies signing Zach Britton while you were talking, but you would believe me is the problem, so I held back on that. Yeah, it's been a kind of a day.
Absolutely. We kind of figured we would see a day or two like this here during the winter meetings, and Liz Rocher from Yahoo Sports is with us to break it all down as well. Follow Liz on Twitter, at Liz Rocher. Liz, we missed you on Sunday night. Glad you're feeling better. How about this hot stove?
It's hot. It's hotter than it's been. It's hotter than it was for most of last year. I think winter meetings were kind of boring last year, aside from Giancarlo Stanton. I think that might have been done before the meetings. So, this year is turning out already to be pretty great.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of teams that seem to be looking to improve this year, even though we haven't seen a lot of free agents get signed yet. There's a lot of trade discussions going on, and the Phillies seem to be in the middle of everything. They seem to be hunting for most of the free agents, at least showing serious interest in most of the free agents. The Phillies have been mentioned in trades for a number of the big-name players, and the Phillies did make a big move here on Tuesday, which is why we're recording tonight, signing Andrew McCutchen to be a corner outfielder for them next year. The 32-year-old signed a 3-year, $50 million deal with the team. It's a lot of money for Andrew McCutchen, but still just 32 years old, and for 3 years, that's the length of a deal, I think, that you would think is most palatable. He had .255 last year for the Giants and the Yankees with a .368 on base percentage, a really nice OBP, and a .424 slugging, had a .347 WOBA, had a weighted runs created of 120, and was worth 2.6 Fangraphs wins above replacement. If you look at his weighted runs created plus, only Rhys Hoskins, with a minimum of 150 plate appearance, had a higher weighted runs created, which makes him essentially, he would have been the second best offensive player on the team last year. What I think he gives you guys is durability. The other guys, I think this obviously means the Phillies are out on Michael Brantley and on AJ Pollock. And the reasoning you're hearing that the Phillies decided to go with McCutchen is that he's been more durable. We've talked on the podcast about the fact that Pollock and Brantley were injury-prone players, that they're a little bit brittle, that you never know when one of these guys is going to miss half a season to a full season with some kind of injury. Here's the number of games he's played since 2010. 154, 158, 157, 157, 146, 157, 153, 156, 155. So, Justin, this is a pretty durable guy. The Phillies decided that maybe if he doesn't have the same kind of offensive upside as Michael Brantley or AJ Pollock, or the same defensive upside as Pollock, that he's close enough to those guys and makes up for it in the durability, and probably would cost a little bit less than it would take to get Michael Brantley. All in all, what do you think about the McCutchen trade? McCutchen signing, not trade.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And the durability angle is really, it's probably more important than we even realized. I mean, if you look at the outfielders that he's at the moment joining, his numbers from 2018 are superior in most aspects, even though he's obviously far off from being the MVP player he was at one point. And then if you look at the projections for next year, he's pretty much on the same level, except He's projected to have about twice as many walks as any of the outfielders the Phillies have right now,
right,
which is part of that new plate discipline he's adopted, having seen a decline in a lot of his offensive statistics in the past couple of years. He's gotten a lot more patient at the plate, which is obviously a reason for this Phillies front office to be attracted to him. But I think with this signing, this particular signing asks you to change your thinking on a couple of things, and one of them is money. And the idea that it is just money. One of the things I saw people reacting to today was that if the Phillies were willing to spend $50 million on Andrew McCutchen, that can't leave a lot of room for signing certain Washington Nationals outfielders. But again, we come back to this idea that the money is somehow finite. I feel like $50 million is what it took to get the player they wanted, so they paid it. And if you have stupid money to spend, $50 million, as objectively bonkers as it sounds, isn't a ton of money. It isn't all of your money, at least. And it certainly doesn't eliminate the idea that you will spend more money. In fact, Ken Rosenthal tweeted not long after this news broke that the Phillies were in no means out on Bryce Harper just because they signed Andrew McCutchen. So people keep thinking the Phillies are done. And I don't know, why that is, that after every deal, it's like, but what if they don't make any more deals? It's like when you were, well, never mind. what if they're done making deals? It's kind of ridiculous. So the other thing you got to change your thinking of is McCutchen. You think of McCutchen, he's a guy that the Phillies haven't played a lot against in the past couple of years. He's never played in division. He plays on teams that they haven't seen too much of. And a lot of people just remember him as that MVP, and what they know about him now is that he's not that MVP anymore. That doesn't mean he's a bad player. If the Phillies and the fans have signed him to be that MVP player, despite all evidence to the contrary, then they are going to be devastated. But if you view him as an overpaid, potentially overpaid role player who's there to man the corner outfielder spots, utilize the patience he's adopted at the plate, maybe even if we're feeling particularly daring, set an example for certain outfielders who really suffered from not having a veteran leader to follow around or just see an example of in the past season, that's quite a role to play on a team that's in the status the Phillies are right now. So you're paying too much because if it is indeed too much, you're paying that much because you can afford to. I mean, it could be stupid, but that's what Middleton said they were going to do. And again, as long as this doesn't mean the Phillies are done, then being against this trade means you either think that Altair, Williams, Quinn, or Herrera is going to be better and lose time from McCutchen being there, or you're on the side of the money, which again, no one should be on the side of the money.
Yeah, that's 3 years, $50 million for Andrew McCutchen, which you do it by an average annual value, is really not all that much. And it doesn't preclude them from going out and getting a Bryce Harper or especially Manny Machado, because I think that this McCutchen deal makes a lot more sense if the team is focusing more on Machado than Harper. And everything you hear now, that seems to be where it's headed. But it doesn't mean that the Phillies can't go out and get Bryce Harper. And in McCutchen, they get a guy who's going to play better defense than Nick Williams did, who's probably right now is as good a player as Nick Williams can hope to be at some point in his career. So what are your thoughts on Andrew McCutchen signing 3 years, $50 million?
I think it's great. Anyone thinking that he's going to prevent anything from happening in any way is, I think, allowing their something bad to happen to their brain. Because 3 years, $50 million is not untradeable. And as I said inexplicably earlier today, it's not inedible either. You know, the Phillies could eat it if they needed to, if they had a year left. They could release him and eat it. That's exactly what the Blue Jays did today with Troy Tulowitzki.
Right.
You know, that he has 30, they're eating $38 million. It probably doesn't taste very good. But they'll do it, but they're doing it because, you know, they don't want to, you know, they could keep him, but they think he sucks. It's not even about money or anything. They just don't want to have him anymore. And if that happens, if McCutchen ends up being in the way of something, I don't think they'll let that stop them, from doing what they want to do. Like, I don't think there's anyone in the minors right now who he might be blocking. And if it turns out he is blocking someone, they'll remove him.
Yeah.
You know, I can't help but think the Phillies know what's important despite their insistence on playing Scott Kingery as some sort of roving infield, you know, fill-in dude all the time. I have to think that that is just not a symptom of madness, but right. something not worse.
Well, and what you've got here is a situation where the Phillies are going to have to move one of their outfielders, unless they don't sign. Even if they sign Bryce Harper, somebody's probably going to get traded. And my guess is it would be Nick Williams more than Odubel Herrera, because I think Nick Williams is a guy that is still a little bit on the youngish side. There's still some upside there. But the Phillies, I think, see what his limit is. And so I think that Nick Williams is a natural guy to kind of lift out. Again, this regime did not make the Cole Hamels deal that brought Nick Williams to this team. So there's no emotional attachment to Nick Williams. And so the thing about McCutchen is he does some things well that none of the other outfielders really do well. He hits the ball on a line drive about 23% of the time, which is, I think, was 90th in baseball last year. But we're talking out of like 200 and some odd players with a minimum of 300 plate appearances. He also had a combined medium and hard hit contact of 86.6%, which was 39th in baseball. He swung at only 19.4% of pitches out of the strike zone last year, the second lowest rate in the majors behind Joey Votto. So you have a guy here who walks a lot. He's not going to hit for 300, which is one of the things I think we liked with Michael Brantley, Liz. We liked the idea of having another 300 hitter in the lineup. Brantley as a lefty probably would have been a better fit for this lineup if the Phillies end up getting Machado. But again, you can't assume that that's going to happen. And so they got a guy who does some things really well. He sprays the ball all around the field. I think at Citizens Bank Park, he's going to hit some more home runs. I saw Tristan Cockcroft from ESPN noting that outside of Yankee Stadium, Citizens Bank Park is the next best landing spot for McCutchen's skill set. Citizens Bank was the number two home run park for right-handed hitters from 2014 to last year. And so this is a guy who could hit 20 home runs last year. He could bump that up to 25 to 27 home runs, Liz. He does some things really well, and if you're lifting out Nick Williams and putting Andrew McCutchen in there, who's a pretty good defender in right field, that makes his team better in 2019.
He hits the ball.
Yes.
He hits the ball.
Yes.
That's the most important thing. He walks, but also hits. And that was, I think, the issue with Carlos Santana last year, aside from the fact that he was actually blocking someone.
Right. And it's interesting, they both kind of signed at the same point in the offseason, and he's basically replacing Santana's offensive production. There's a lot of parallels between the McCutchen signing and Santana.
If he is even remotely better at putting the ball in play, because, I mean, Carlos Santana walked a ton, but he just, beyond that, there just wasn't a whole lot happening. If he can be even remotely better, it's an improvement all around, you know, because I don't think you're going to, I'll admit, I haven't compared their walk rates, but McCutchen walks a fair amount. If he can get on base at a steady clip, that the Phillies need that. They just need someone who gets on base and who hits.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, defense is important. Believe me, I understand defense is important. I yelled about it a lot last year. If you're a dedicated listener, you heard me, my anguished cries.
Yes, but we heard.
I was also super frustrated in the, you know, the last 6 weeks of the season that the Phillies just weren't hitting the ball at all.
Yeah.
And in the end, you kind of need that to win.
Yeah.
Defense can save things, but it can't score runs. You can always overcome bad defense with more run scoring.
I think that's a reason why, John, I mean, you said that it's more likely that Nick Williams is the odd man out here. And I think that's because Odubel Herrera, as a center fielder, has a little more job security in a world where we're imagining that McCutchen and Harper are surrounding him on either side. Neither of those guys are primarily center fielders, so I feel like Herrera's job might be a little safer.
Yeah, I think that's right, because you could put Quinn in center field, and if the Phillies make a deal with Odubel Herrera in it, that's probably what ends up happening, and they probably go out and sign a backup center fielder, a fourth outfielder, to kind of help mitigate the impending and sure-to-happen Roman Quinn injury next year. But I guess, you know, we're looking at McCutchen here as an addition to this lineup and trying to figure out where he might hit. I've heard a couple people say you could put him in the two-hole or hit him at the six-hole. I thought this was interesting. 49 different players had at least 150 plate appearances in the leadoff spot last year. Andrew McCutchen's on-base percentage of .414 in the leadoff spot was second in baseball behind only Mookie Betts. So I know that Cesar Hernandez, if he's still on the team, you would think that he would probably be the leadoff hitter, but you could...
What excuse will they give to ignore this stat?
Right, I mean...
You continue to put Cesar Hernandez batting first, because I think you should at least give it a try.
Yeah.
I don't know if Gabe Kapler's going to agree for whatever reason that they decide to tell him to say, but...
And honestly, speaking of McCutcheon's sort of revamped approach where he was focusing more on drawing walks, according to Aaron Gleeman, that he swung, there's only one person who swung at fewer out of the zone pitches than Andrew McCutcheon.
Yeah.
And
it was Joey Votto, who is physically incapable of swinging at pitches out of the zone.
Right.
That's
right.
Impressive.
Yeah.
That's an impressive stat. I love Andrew McCutcheon. He's a good dude on top of being a good player.
Right.
You know, the team is still in desperate need of veteran presence, because I think it's kind of obvious that Cesar Hernandez, who's, you know, the oldest dude on the team, I think at this point, or at least the most established, longest tenured, is not that guy. Cesar is a put your head down and work kind of dude. He's not, I don't think, going to be a leadership voice. And I think what we saw last year was a vacuum. We saw a vacuum in the Phillies clubhouse, because Rhys Hoskins wants to be that guy, but he doesn't really have the standing quite yet to be able to tell someone like Odubel Herrera, hey, maybe stop that.
Yeah, it was his first full season.
Maybe
do
a little bit more than what you're doing. And Andrew McCutcheon has the standing and the gravitas to do that. The dude, he's an actual established veteran on this team for the first, you know, for the first time in a few years, a guy who can really be looked up to and has the experience to give advice. I'm excited about that, because I think it was obvious last year, by the end of the year, that the Phillies needed it. I think a lot of the problems that they had, you know, a lack of consistency, you know, some players being left to their own devices, just sort of everything got to them at the last part of the season, and no one was able to pull it together anymore.
The spirit of leadership is flowing within Rhys Hoskins, but you're absolutely right that he doesn't have the experience yet to really take over that role. Even if he were to be like a Chase Utley by example kind of guy, clearly he's not. He's going to be a vocal, outspoken leader, like how people would like heckle Odubel Herrera in the on deck circle, and he would like address them. And I think his favorite comment was like, "Oh, do you want a bat? Do you want to try?" Like, that was always his comeback thing. So he's ready to jump in. I think it's just the timing was not quite there yet.
No, for sure. That was his first full season, and he went through his struggles too, all those ups and downs. And so Hoskins was spending a lot of the year trying to figure out what was going on with his offensive performance and playing left field full time. So, yeah, I agree. McCutcheon is renowned for being a great guy, a great clubhouse presence. And we hear all the stories about his time in Pittsburgh, where he basically lived at the Pittsburgh Children's Hospital, visiting kids and being with sick kids all the time. I mean, it's just, some of this stuff is great when you've got a young clubhouse there. I think one of the other things it does is, if you're Bryce Harper or Manny Machado and you're looking at this roster right now, wouldn't you feel better about coming to Philadelphia knowing Andrew McCutcheon is there? That you there's another fellow veteran who is as respected as McCutcheon in the clubhouse, that you know at least you've got somebody there that you know what their track record is, and you know he's not an MVP player anymore, but you know you've got a good solid player in Andrew McCutcheon, who is a great dude and who will do good things in the community. It's all part of it. But I mean, obviously, we want this team to play better next year, more than what McCutcheon does off the field, which is all really important and really good stuff. If he can be a mentor to the younger players and some of the other position players like Odubel Herrera or whoever else, then great. But most importantly is whether or not McCutcheon can actually play. And listen, here's the deal. He is 32 years old. This is going to take him through his age 32, 33, and 34 season. So again, he's not going to be walking around with a cane in the outfield by the time this is all said and done. Liz, I think you've mentioned it on the podcast previously that we tend to look at players as soon as they cross the 30 threshold, that all of a sudden they're ancient and decrepit. You have to be...
They're undesirable. People consider them undesirable. I think part of the reaction to the signing is that he's over 30 and the Phillies are committing to him for 3 years. The only types of players that I have trouble committing more than 3 years to are pitchers, because they are more unpredictable in a lot of ways than hitters. I have no problem giving a guy like Andrew McCutcheon 3 years. He's 32. That is not that old. That is not that old, guys.
And people honestly, are... Go ahead, Justin. Yeah.
there's a prevailing sense that right now over anybody that any deal the Phillies make, every move the Phillies make until they sign Bryce Harper or Manny Machado is the wrong move. That's right. All people are waiting for. Yeah. It's not necessarily they just, you know, they're not the players they've been waiting for. They know they're not, you know, in McCutcheon's case, they know he's not the McCutcheon from a few years ago. They see him taking a spot that potentially could be for Bryce Harper. And, you know, I we're not immune to that either. That like when you first see that, oh, the Phillies are signing McCutcheon. Okay. I might, you know, might need to be talked into this a little bit. I need to remind myself what he's been up to the past couple of years.
I've had to be talked into it a little bit. Yeah.
Right. But at the end of the day, he's not Bryce Harper. And that's really the only thing that people are focusing on right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm not blaming you. That's it's right. A thrilling offseason for that reason.
Right.
But we're probably a little ways off from that. And these are a bunch of moves the Phillies were always going to make. And so far, I really don't think the Phillies have made a bad move yet this offseason, including today.
I agree with that. And you're right. These are the secondary moves. These are the moves that you make while you're waiting for your primary targets to make up their minds and listen to all their offers.
Be so weird if they just waited for them to make their decisions and then tried to, like, how many people wouldn't be available?
It would be a terrible idea.
Team.
Yeah. No, that would be the worst thing they could do. The Phillies have to go about their business. And we all know about the Phillies that these moves don't preclude them from doing anything. They can make these kinds of moves without having to worry about having money left over for Bryce Harper or Manny Machado. They always knew that they were going to go out and get another outfielder. They were going to get a left side of the infield, whether it would be shortstop or third base, that they were going to sign a starting pitcher. They're going to sign a reliever. And we're going to get into a couple of rumors with starting pitchers and relievers coming up in just a few minutes also. It hasn't precluded the Phillies from doing anything that they want to do, so people need to calm down about McCutcheon. I will say that, you know, last year the Phillies signed Carlos Santana to a deal that was similar to this, about $10 million. McCutcheon is $10 million cheaper than Santana. They're about the same age. They both provide the same, very similar offensive skills as one another. But the big difference between the Santana signing last year and the McCutcheon signing this year is that you didn't really have a place for Santana last year. It shoved Rhys Hoskins off of first base into left field and made you weaker in the outfield, both offensively and defensively, because Hoskins struggled at times last year making the adjustment, and he was terrible defensively, and Santana didn't perform up to expectations at first base. Here, you know that McCutcheon is at least going to give you what Nick Williams gave you, would give you this year, and he'll probably do much better than that, especially defensively. So this fits. This fits better than the Santana signing last year, even though it's for similar money, for a similarly aged player with a similar skill set. This year, this signing makes a whole lot more sense, Liz.
Well, he fills a legitimate hole
right.
The Phillies have. Like, an actual need is being satisfied. Like, last year, they had a first baseman. They were calling him a left fielder and pretending they had a hole at first base. They did not. Like, this is an actual legitimate hole they have to fill, because Rhys Hoskins has been plucked from where he does not belong and put back where he is more comfortable, which I would like to think might help his hitting a little bit. Maybe it will, maybe it won't, but I think at least having the pressure of being out in the wilds, you know, the wild fields of left field, might help him, you know, focus a little bit more on hitting and that type of thing. Because, you know, playing first base is natural to him. He's been doing it forever. Playing left field is not. He's been doing that for just over a year.
I'm going to put it like this.
Right.
I don't fully agree with this, but it just flows a little better. Carlos Santana was a good player who made the team worse. If you could look at his stats, I mean, maybe good is a bit of an overclassification. He was an effective player. He did what he was signed to do. He was just the wrong player for the Phillies to sign. That just shouldn't have been how that went down. That shouldn't have been how the team was put together. But they were trying something, and at the end of the day, no. And he just didn't make the impact that the Phillies wound up needing. And that's all. And we know that in retrospect. We didn't know that at the time.
Right. There's no way anyone could have known that at the time. And so that's just, you know, that's what happens. And, you know, it could be that in 2 years or next year, we look at the Andrew McCutcheon signing and we think, man, that was a bad deal, too. But at the moment, for right now, it looks like a better fit than the Santana signing. And so Right now, the moves the Phillies have made, trading for Gene Segura and bringing Andrew McCutchen on board, has made this a better baseball team so far. But we do await the big moves yet to come. And got a little bit of movement, or at least some rumors on that front. We found out that the Phillies today met with Scott Boras at the winter meetings. The two sides discussed a number of matters, according to Jim Salisbury, including Bryce Harper and Zach Britton. So, apparently the team spoke with Boras about Harper. We're going to get into Britton more in just a second. Also hearing Manny Machado is going to be visiting a number of different teams. Looks like next week he's going to be coming to Citizens Bank Park. I'm just encouraging people, if you're there, not to boo Manny Machado. We did a good job last time he came to Citizens Bank Park.
People just quietly
Bank Park,
booing
but,
on 95 as they go by.
Right. Yes.
Remember, this is the player we all want to actually come here.
Yeah, exactly. This is a guy we want. And it seems as though, based on Salisbury's reporting, and I think the Andrew McCutchen signing indicates this as well, that the Phillies really are targeting Machado over Harper. That seems to be...
Why?
Why does it seem obvious, or why are they doing that?
I mean, I guess, why do you think that?
Well, because I think you sign the outfielder, and you're looking more for a guy to play third base, so that if you signed Harper and Williams, then you've got to basically trade Odubel and Nick Williams. Whereas if you can sign Machado to play the left side of the infield, you're not having to upend your entire roster, because I think Michael Franco's on the way out anyway. So it seems to me that makes it a little bit more synergistic sense to put Machado in the infield to go after Machado hard, and you got your outfielder upgrade in McCutchen.
Sure. I mean, I don't necessarily. I mean, they, like I said, there's an opening over there for them to fill. And I don't know. I don't necessarily completely. I mean, I see why everyone's saying that. I don't necessarily agree that it means that they're going super hard after Machado. They probably want him as much as, you know, anybody else. But I don't necessarily think.
Well, it
means that they're totally putting all of their eggs in the Machado basket.
Probably not all of them, but it's been like Salisbury, a couple of them have said that the Phillies seem more interested in Machado than Harper at the moment. That's something that apparently exists. But but I don't know. I mean, I don't want to speak for you guys. I feel like this podcast has leaned a little more towards Harper, but at the moment it does. John, we talked on this podcast on Sunday night about how. Upgrading that, getting that one outfield upgrade, and then putting Manny at third base with Segura at shortstop feels like a more comprehensive upgrade than Bryce Harper in the outfield, and then it felt like more ground was covered. They had fixed more of the issues that this team has, because again, they do have more to fix than not having Manny Machado or not having Bryce Harper. But rev up the Jumbotron. This is the Photoshop guy's best time of year. He's got a lot of critical shadows to eliminate with the shot of Machado wearing a Phillies hat on his head. And hopefully they learn from the Patrick Corbin incident to include any of Machado's family who's accompanying him in the welcome message on the board, which I think we all
know.
That
was a big miss last time. Big miss last time.
Major reason why he's not here. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just think they're taking a gamble that Machado will want to go somewhere and play third base. Unless he's, hasn't been totally honest about it, or, he's really willing to take an enormous, a bonus to do it. He's been pretty clear. What's going to be easier? If they sign him and he wants to play shortstop, where does that leave them? If they signed him on the condition, or if they really need him to play short and play third base, and he does not sign there, I don't know.
I think,
can you at least see where I'm coming from with this?
Sure.
I feel like it's.
Yeah, no, I see exactly what you're saying, Liz. I do. I see what you're saying about Machado's willingness to play third base over shortstop. My thinking is, if the Phillies are going to get Machado, they're going to have to overpay for him anyway. I just think the overpay is going to happen regardless, and you can basically buy his happiness to play third base with a contract that he'll feel comfortable signing to come play in Philadelphia. Because at the end of the day, right now the Yankees don't have a spot for him. Most other places don't have a spot for him that can afford him, except for maybe the White Sox. Might be another team here or there. But the team that he wants to go play for, the Yankees, haven't been able to figure out a way to make some space for him just yet. And so that's probably one of the reasons why he's holding out and why he's waiting a little bit. But it seems like most teams want to play him at third base. I think he would play third base for the team he really wants to go play for, the Yankees. He might be trying to push this shortstop narrative as a bargaining ploy also, that okay, you don't want me to play shortstop. Okay, then you pay me an extra $25 million over the course of this contract to agree to play third base, and then I'll play third base. So any number of different possibilities are out there. At the end of the day, I think if the Phillies get Machado, they're going to have to massively overpay for him anyway, and I think factored into that price will be convincing him to play third. But I think if you get Manny Machado to play third base, you have a really good defensive left side of the infield. You've improved yourself defensively in right field, and you've improved yourself defensively in left field too by getting Rhys Hoskins out of there. So you've already improved yourself in four spots on the field. Whereas if you get Bryce Harper and pair him, I mean, I would still love for this team to get Bryce Harper. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, I don't want Harper. I'm now leaning towards Machado over Harper because I think that I see the defensive upgrade that he would bring more so than putting Harper in the outfield and having Franco at third or Moustakas at third or something like that.
I can get behind that.
That's all. And he does
provide a bigger defensive upgrade, and I hadn't quite thought of it in those terms because, man, he's so smooth at third base. I mean, I have a play of his flashing in my head. I wish I remembered where it was from, but I think it might have been like his first year back after that terrible knee injury. Mm-hmm. He was just like, he had to go all the way into foul ground and made an insane, this sweeping, grab with this, midair turn throw that was right on the money. It was just poetry.
Yeah.
He's so good. Just play third base. Just play third base.
I think
third base is
John,
fun.
I mean, if it's true that most of the teams that want to sign him want him to play third base, then yeah, I think you're absolutely right that he would. Oh, I guess he's just going to sit out this year. Didn't get to play the position he wanted to play. Like, come on. Yeah, I think there's certainly an amount of money that will make Manny Machado happy enough to play the position he said he doesn't want to play. It's almost thinking back now that he bothered to go out of his way to walk back his hustle comments right before, and a weird coincidence, right before he started trying to get contracts from teams, that also it didn't get floated out there that Manny Machado might be willing to play third base, .. for the right price, but I guess
for the right
I think
price,
we can all just assume that because you're absolutely right. So yeah, I'm very curious. I think it's one of the things from the information we learned today saying that he's going to come visit the Phillies in the next couple weeks or in the coming weeks, which means that's probably the time scale we're looking at. And the winter meetings end in about, let me check my watch here, before the next couple of weeks. So we're probably not going to see that happen anytime soon.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like Machado or Harper is getting signed this week. So fans who are listening, if you're expecting the Phillies to roll out of the winter meetings with Bryce Harper or Manny Machado tucked under their arm, wrapped up nicely in some wrapping paper, probably not happening. It's probably going to be Christmas time, maybe even into the beginning of January before this all gets wrapped up. I would tend to think these guys would want to get it done before Christmas just to kind of get that off their plate, know where they're going to be next year. I would want to get that off my plate before Christmas or the new year, but they also want to make sure that, Boris is trying to generate, it seems like, some other teams into the mix here because we heard it's the Phillies bidding against the Phillies. I still think the Dodgers are going to find a way to trade a couple of their outfielders and make a run at Bryce Harper. I wouldn't be at all surprised if the Dodgers end up being the team that gets Bryce Harper, and then it's up to the Phillies
to. Boring.
It would be boring, but that's one of the reasons why I think it would happen. It's just
Dodgers
just for the
land great player.
Yeah, film at 11.
Like, God, can we?
Dodgers will burn through.
Right now, I know that there's a trade being talked about that's like Puig to the Reds. Like, can we have more of this? Can we have more of the Dodgers trading their stars to teams that desperately need a lift?
Yeah. And John, are you saying that parading around cities in the Northeast and also Chicago in late December would be some sort of miserable experience? And that somehow Los Angeles would become miraculously more appealing after something like that goes down? That's crazy.
Who's to say? Who's to say? To each their own, different strokes for different folks, you know?
Florida, how much is he really going to like hanging out in freezing cold freaking Philadelphia?
Philadelphia in January. There's nothing more beautiful in
this
world.
Get some of that
folks.
Trademark Philly slush just filling the streets. Like, just after it's been stampeded by commuters and full of Band-Aids and dog crap. Yeah, that'll get him coming here.
Welcome to Philadelphia. We have a love statue. You might like that. Covered in crap. Yeah, that's true too. One of the things that we saw from Ken Rosenthal today is he mentioned in a tweet, agreement with McCutchen opens up the Phillies the possibility of trading a younger outfielder. And then he throws this little bomb into the middle of the room. Sixto Sanchez, the Phillies' top pitching prospect, also has been involved in numerous trade discussions, sources say. What? Sixto Sanchez is being talked about in trades, apparently, by the Phillies. And this tells me the Phillies are at least in the conversation for big fish here. You don't talk about Sixto Sanchez in trades unless you're talking about landing a big fish in a trade. So now we're left to try and figure out, well, who could they be talking about? Could they be talking about one of the Indians pitchers, Corey Kluber? Could they be talking about TJ Realmuto? We heard a lot of rumors about Realmuto on Tuesday. Jim Salisbury reported somebody inside baseball said that they don't think the Phillies have the pieces to make a Realmuto trade. That could be. The Phillies aren't willing to meet the Marlins price, but, and that could, of course, probably mean Sixto Sanchez. But there are some other possibilities out there. I saw somebody on Twitter today mention an interesting name. His name came up as a trade possibility. Not really. I don't think it was real. But Chris Bryant of the Cubs as a, you know, hey, listen, if the Cubs are trying to clear space for Bryce Harper or something, maybe you could move Chris Bryant. Of course, Bryant and Harper are best friends, so I'm not sure that's a selling point to try and land Bryce Harper. But, you know, when you're talking about moving Sixto Sanchez, it's for that kind of player. So, Justin, for you, the talk about moving Sixto Sanchez, what kind of players would that be doable for you? Moving Sixto Sanchez, are there players you would move him for and players that you absolutely would not move him for that have been rumored to be available?
Well, look, I try to think of prospects more as movable currency than anything else. Not to dehumanize them, but I just mean as far as attachment to them goes, because so more often than not, you're talking about players who aren't as valuable as they seem at different stages of their development. And Sixto Sanchez is obviously the Phillies' big piece, and I think that's a really good piece of evidence to discern from these conversations, John, is that, like, my reaction was going to be, does that mean that Sixto Sanchez is getting discussed, or did the other team just say Sixto Sanchez's name and the Phillies were like, no? But you're right. The fact that he even came up means that we're talking about, you know, big fish, which brings me to my point of that the fish that I would be willing to trade Sixto Sanchez for is named Trout. And potentially Syndergaard, but I would not go so far as to trade for any of the Indians starters. That role doesn't, to be honest, I wouldn't be like happy, but I'd be satisfied if the Phillies managed to sign Jay Happ. And then like their starting pitching was done. I don't think that would give them a particularly strong rotation, but it'd be better than last year and it would be serviceable and they could obviously make more changes as they saw fit. I don't see a reason for them to give Sixto Sanchez up for Corey Kluber or Trevor Bauer. Those aren't guys that I think would be worth a trade like that, and I don't want Trevor Bauer anywhere near this team.
Sorry, involuntary. Involuntary.
I mean, the word Bauer just kind of sounds like that throat noise that just Bauer. Like,
yeah, that's the sound Liz just made, actually. I believe it was Bauer. Mm-hmm. Where are you on Sixto? Are those the players you would mainly go for as well? Syndergaard, Trout. What about Realmuto? Would you include Sixto and Realmuto? Realmuto is the best catcher in baseball right now.
Hell no.
No.
I would not include him. He is the best catcher in baseball, but looking at the other places the Phillies can upgrade without giving him up, I would sooner spend a whole truckload of money than give up Sixto Sanchez.
Right. Get Yasmani Grandal, right?
The Mets are currently discussing like trading more dudes for players, and like just sign someone, you unbelievable idiots. You know, it's beyond me like why they're doing that. And when I see the Phillies discussing sending their beautiful, amazing unicorn prospect to, you know, to Miami.
Yeah.
You know, for JT Realmuto, who has 2 years of control left and is not guaranteed to sign an extension. And considering how badly he's been treated by Miami, I think he does not, I don't think he signs an extension with any team. And he, you know, waits till he hits free agency so he can sign a contract on his own terms, as opposed to while he's still, you know, wedded to any team. I think it's probably soured him on his first several years of service in general. I definitely wouldn't want that. Corey Kluber is too old to trade Sixto Sanchez for. Think of the number of years you have left compared to what he could bring you. Like, if this is extreme prospect hugging, I'll be the first to admit that. But unless you're offering me like Francisco Lindor, I'm not thinking of giving him up. He is one of just a few prospects in the Philly system that I believe are worth holding on to no matter what and seeing what happens with them.
And honestly, trading for Realmuto means that you're essentially giving up on Jorge Alfaro. And we've already seen one trade this year that was the Phillies swapping out a developing young player for an established player who plays the position of, you know, at shortstop really well. And I'm actually very pleased with the Phillies securing Segura and have completely come to terms with J.P. Crawford getting traded. But how many times do you want to do that? How many times do you want to skip those steps and
that's
miss
out point
on a young player just because he isn't fully developed yet and somebody else is? I don't think we need to do that with Alfaro just yet. Or I at least wouldn't be unhappy if we started the season and Alfaro was the catcher. I think a lot of people wouldn't be.
No, I would love to see Alfaro continue to develop. I thought he had the ninth best wins above replacement among all catchers last year. Alfaro did. Not many people realize that. He was an above average offensive catcher. All given his warts that he has with his incredible strikeout percentage, he was better than most catchers offensively. He has a lot of work to do, but you see the talent's all there. He's an incredibly athletic catcher, which people don't give him enough credit for. He's got great speed for a catcher.
Big.
Yeah. But he moves his speed so well out there, and we saw him make plays in front of the plate last year, which no other catchers in baseball can make. I think he'll get better with blocking balls in the dirt, and I think he'll get better with his strikeouts. I think he'll get better at making contact. He might not ever be a low strikeout guy, or even like he may never get it down below 30%, but that's okay. 40% is what you can't is what you can't have with Alfaro. So I'm with you guys. I'm not trading Sixto for JT Realmuto. I'm not even all that interested in trading Adonis Medina for JT Realmuto.
Alfaro,
guy like.
I'm fine with JT Realmuto not being
on
the team.
Alfaro
can hit, you know, 230, 240 if he wants to, and manage the pitching staff well. If he can still throw 900 miles an hour and keep guys off the bases, then he's doing his job as a catcher.
Right. And I think...
And remember, most catchers suck offensively. Mm-hmm. Most catchers are not good. The vast majority... Like, there's a Buster Posey and a Realmuto out there. Yadier Molina has fallen right off the age cliff. I think there might be one or two other guys who are good, but most catchers aren't good. You don't, like, if you have an offensively great catcher, you are lucky and you do whatever you can to, you know, you either keep him or you trade him for everything you can for a team that is desperate for an upgrade at a place where they can't find other upgrades. You trade for the best catcher there is when there aren't a lot of other places you can upgrade, because the best catcher is going to cost you a lot.
Yep.
Think of what Buster Posey even now would fetch. And
you're
the
right.
Giants aren't even entertaining trading him. He would get a boatload.
Yeah, he would. He would get a boatload. And so I think Alfaro can be one of those types of guys. He's not going to be a Buster Posey type guy, but I think Alfaro can be
he
a top five catcher in the National
it
League.
Be fine.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. So there's no need to invest in JT Realmuto with Sixto Sanchez or anybody of that ilk. I agree with you. I also would not trade Sixto for Corey Kluber. I think that one's a closer call, but I would do that deal if the Phillies made the NLCS last year. you know, and they were like a step away from the World Series, I would probably then I would think about doing it for 3 years of Corey Kluber at a reasonable price. But not right now, because they're still the future of this team is still a little bit uncertain right now. If a guy like Blake Snell became available from the Rays, I think I'd certainly do that. There's certain guys, Noah Syndergaard, I would absolutely trade Sixto for Noah Syndergaard right now. But
yes.
Those are the kinds of pitchers I think that we're talking about here, and the type of offensive players is an offensive player like a Chris Bryant or something like that, where you would consider moving Sixto Sanchez. And I don't want us to be guilty of too much prospect hugging. I think of the three of us am the most willing to trade Sixto Sanchez, because I am very worried about his elbow injuries and his injury history, the fact he barely pitched at all last year. I realize he's really young and the stuff is incredible, but again, the injury stuff, even though it doesn't seem as though everybody's saying it wasn't serious, I'm not 100% convinced it's not going to be. He's not going to be the type of guy that has this kind of stuff following him around all the time. So if you can get something phenomenal for Sixto Sanchez right now that's going to help you this year and over the next 4 or 5 years, then I'm doing it. But not for JT Realmuto and not for Corey Kluber and certainly not for Trevor Bauer or Madison Bumgarner or anybody like that. But it's clear, it seems as though the Phillies are at least in the trade conversations for a big player or two. Otherwise, we would not be hearing Sixto Sanchez's name mentioned. A couple other things before we finish up here. Some reporting by the New York Post says the Phillies are getting closer, that's their words, getting closer to a deal with Jay Happ. Buster only earlier in the day on Tuesday reported Happ would be willing to wait out a 3-year deal from somebody. If the Phillies,
and he'd be willing to do it for weeks,
yeah,
and perhaps months, yeah, which I admire that.
I do too. And he's going to get it. I think he's going to get it, because
he knows.
I think he knows that the Phillies, especially, I think the Phillies are going to go 3 years. I don't see why the Phillies wouldn't. 3 years is fine. I know Justin, that Jay Happ is an older pitcher, but like we talked about on Sunday night, I think he is going to age well into his 40s. I think he's going to still be a major league starter at 41 or 42, because he's never been a hard thrower. He's never been a guy who had a wipeout slider. He's a guy who has a very deceptive fastball. He gets players out through deception, just like Jamie Moyer used to do.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah, Jamie did it with the changeup, and Jay has a fastball that just still, at his age, jumps on people, and he's been so consistent through his 30s. His stuff has stayed the same. His numbers have stayed the same. He's showing no signs of dropping off. Justin, do you feel comfortable with a 3-year deal for Jay Happ?
Yeah, sure. I mean, there's a reason he feels so comfortable about it. And like we said, we're not too worried about him burning his arm out. He's somebody who really benefited from that magical priests of the Pirates system that were salvaging broken down pitchers and baptizing them in the rivers by their stadium. And they would come out as these much more effective pitchers. And God, I mean, no one, I think, showcased that better than Jay Happ did coming out of Pittsburgh. He's had such a career. We used to lump him in with guys like Kyle Kendrick, guys like Vance Worley, guys who came up, looked pretty good their first couple time around through the league, and then wound up getting beat up a little bit. Guys you never really expected to amount to much, then thought maybe, and then they didn't. And he's been in the league for 12 years now.
Wow.
And it wasn't until he was in his mid-30s that he started really being the kind of pitcher that people are
kinda
trying
like
to
Moyer.
Acquire now. I mean, it was with the Pirates, he had a limited amount of time with them, but he put up good numbers for them. The next year, he went to Toronto in a 3.18 ERA. That was possibly the best ERA of his career since he'd left Philadelphia in 2009 over a season, and he got Cy Young votes that year, and that was 2 years ago. So now he's 35 years old, and he's a lefty the Phillies could get some use out of, and he just finished an All-Star season in the American League. So I'd be fine giving him 3 years, because it's just that's just not an intimidating amount of time for a guy you can get that much use out of.
What do you think, Liz?
I agree. Just give him what he wants and be done with your starting pitching market. I think that makes life easier for everyone. I think he's the guy that they should have been going after. You know, they made an offer to Corbin. He was always going to be like 6 years. And, you know, I'm always afraid of those types of guys turning into an albatross of sorts. Happ is not that guy. You know, we know who he is. He's been around forever. We've seen him. I mean, he threw almost 200 innings in 2016. He threw almost 180 this year, 177. Yeah. Like, that's, you need a guy who's going to eat some innings for you. You need a guy who's just going to be reliable. And that's Jay Happ. I like that he's older. It's nice that there's an older pitcher who doesn't seem to actively not want to. The last older pitcher I remember is AJ Burnett, which is ages ago. He was just one in a string of those old sort of, you know, vaguely washed up.
Another guy who benefited from the pirate system.
Yes. But who seemed to actively not want to be with the Phillies for some reason.
Yeah.
We call that Papelbon syndrome.
Oh, God. It's amazing how easily I've forgotten that idiot, that just enormous douchebag. I've forgotten that he existed. But Happ is not that guy either. Happ is, you know, it would kind of be a nice full circle thing to see him get a 3-year deal with the Phillies, which could take him to the end of his career, possibly. I mean, depending on how he is, he could pitch longer, maybe. But, you know, for him to sort of make his way back around to the Phillies after, you know, being away for so long and kind of missing a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they traded him for Roy Oswalt many years ago.
Gosh, and I was trying to remember who he was traded for, and it was Oswalt.
Yeah. Yeah,
getting part of the Hall of Fame vote, you know, who might get a Hall of Fame vote or two this year. They're probably not.
That's right. So be nice to see the Phillies traded away Jay Happ to try and make the World Series. Be nice to see him actually be part of a World Series team at some point here if the Phillies do end up signing him. But let's get on to our last rumor here, and that's we mentioned him just a few minutes ago when we mentioned that the Phillies were meeting with Scott Boras, and that is apparently, according to Ken Rosenthal, the Phillies are very aggressive on Zach Britton. We know the Phillies tried to acquire Britton from the Orioles at the trade deadline as part of their discussions with for Manny Machado. They weren't able to get anything done, but the Phillies looking for another left-hander in the back of the bullpen, and I would imagine that they would want to use Zach Britton as their closer. Maybe that doesn't necessarily mean he gets the ninth inning every single night, but the Phillies definitely lost a lot of games last year because their closer could not hold a lead in the ninth inning. And I would imagine Zach Britton would be that guy for them. He'd also be a guy who you use against the toughest left-handers in a lineup. So if that means, you know, two or three lefties are up in the eighth inning that would normally kill you, maybe Britton comes in the eighth. Regardless, the Phillies, it seems, are definitely zeroing in on one of the big name relief pitchers, whether it's Kimbrel. We've heard them really connected closely to Andrew Miller a lot, but now the smoke seems to be rising above the Phillies and Zach Britton. Britton apparently is also in conversation with the St. Louis Cardinals as well. So the Phillies have a little bit of competition, it seems like, with St. Louis, and there might be another team or two in the mix as well. But as far as these three closers go, Liz, we're looking at Kimbrel, we're looking at Miller, we're looking at Britton. What do you make of these three guys, and how do you feel about Britton if he were to come on board?
All I want is the dude who's going to get out the largest number of NL East hitters, because I'm just haunted by memories of, you know, relievers coughing up games against important NL East foes. Like, the Phillies had, a winning record against the Marlins last year, and that was it.
Yeah, I think you're right.
They had a losing record against the other three NL East teams, which is one of the reasons why they finished the season in what? They finished in third behind the...
Third place.
I was hoping they didn't fall underneath the Mets, because that would have been truly embarrassing.
No.
But, you know, that is what I'll be honest, I don't care. Whoever it is that they sign... Like, I wish I had more feelings about relievers. It's just hard for me to get super jazzed about a reliever almost ever. You know, maybe one will establish himself and be that lights out guy. And, you know, he'll have a song that plays and, you know, the stadium will go wild and we'll all feel confident when he takes the mound. It's been a super long time since the Phillies have had anything resembling that in the late.
Yeah, we call that Papelbon syndrome.
Oh, God. But, you know,
well, that's true.
Whatever it is that it is, if it's Kimbrel, if it's Miller, I really don't care. And I almost don't care what they pay them, because I think they probably have a firm grasp on the market. And despite, you know, the people in charge now not being part of the Papelbon deal, I don't think anyone wants to repeat that.
Liz, I really, that's a really good point that it's tough to get excited about closer, filling that closer role feels like an obligation. So much of the time it feels like something you should just be like, check off doing your due diligence. Like,
vegetables.
We need a guy in the back. It could, if Hector Neris had worked out, he'd be the closer, but unfortunately now you got to hit the free agent market. And you know, it's good to know the Phillies are looking to fill that role with an effective reliever. But at the same time, yeah, it's tough to get excited because relievers are so volatile and nobody knows that more than Zach Britton, who put up, I mean, you got it. It's almost McCutcheon-esque, the same kind of trajectory that we're looking at Britton, a guy who from 2014 to 2016 was not just like a spectacular closer, but like put up really head shaking numbers as a closer and only got better. That 2016 season is really unbelievable. You should do yourself a favor and go over some of the stats from that season for him. He had an 0.54 ERA, and it's not like you're expecting that to be like abbreviated by injury or something. No, he did a full season of closing for the
Orioles. He gave up one run. Didn't he give up one run the whole year, Justin, or something like that?
He's got four earned runs in 69 games. Like, that's, he obviously led the league in saves. Obviously, he led the league in games finished, second year in a row. And he finished in the Cy Young. He finished with MVP votes. He had 11 points as an MVP candidate.
Wow. So,
he finished fourth in the Cy Young that year.
Yeah.
Fourth.
So he tore his Achilles during a workout, and he's been coming back from that ever since. And he's not the same pitcher. He's not. But again, like McCutcheon, when you're coming down from such a high level of talent, even on the way down, you can be an impact pitcher. And I think Britton can still be that. Obviously, other teams do too. He was still effective for the Yankees this year. He's great at keeping the ball on the ground, and he's great at not giving up home runs, which is something the current Phillies closing people filling that position were decidedly not good at. So I would be, you know, like we said, pleased to see him sign, partially because he's who he is, but mostly because he's not the guys they currently have.
He also seems much less of a dick than Pat Neshek, who just always seems like he's just a dick.
Yeah, I'm ready to be done with Pat Neshek. I'm ready to move on. It seems like the Phillies are looking to move Neshek and Tommy Hunter as well.
Yeah,
so they're revamping.
Where are they going to move Tommy Hunter into a garbage dump? Where the hell is he going?
Yeah.
How many of the deals that signed last year worked out?
The reliever deals, almost none of them.
Well, and
almost none of the big name.
Gone.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, and even, yeah, the deals that the Phillies signed last year, virtually none of them worked out. The Jake Arrieta signing was, I think, at this point, a downer. You can't say for sure just yet, but definitely that didn't work out as well as we were hoping it would. And the Neshek performed well when he was out there, but he wouldn't take the ball all the time. And, you know, he gave up a killer. He had a killer blown save at the end of the season, and Tommy Hunter was just awful all year. So, and really, none of the free agent relievers last year that signed really performed well at all. There are very, very few veteran free agent relief pitchers that signed last year that actually had good seasons last year. And I think that's causing people to take just a moment of pause this year with relief.
I was going to say, I'm looking at Tommy Hunter's numbers, and he actually finished better than I ever would have imagined with a 3.80 ERA. But at the same time, so much like he was so bad at exactly the time the Phillies needed better relievers, like right around the time they would have been like they were in prime position to contend for the National League to really make a playoff push for the NL East. That's when he kind of like shorted out. And then like from the end of that Marlins series on, like that's kind of when he kind of turned it on a little bit. His ERA got under 4 around then, but then it was garbage time September when his numbers really went down. So yeah, it was
around the time that I tweeted he's a giant, something like he's an enormous garbage pile of a pitcher, and he started to turn it on. Like, I'm like, thanks. Thank you.
And the
timing. Great.
I will say the hope with Zach Britton here is, and we can kind of start to wrap this up because we're running out of time here. But the basic point with Britton is that if you get an off season now where he's not rehabbing his Achilles, maybe he can work on arm strength this off season, and maybe he comes back throwing harder next year. And I don't think he gave up a run for the Yankees in all of September last year. He had a down August, but was very good in July as well. So he's a player who's coming back from an injury. You don't know exactly what he's going to be, but if he is able to, if he is in the process of just rebuilding arm strength and he's probably not going to be that pitcher that you were talking about, Justin. You're right, but he could be what the Phillies need, better than anything the Phillies had last year or have right now. And he has that experience of closing games late. And so that could be one of the main reasons why the Phillies are looking to get a guy like this, is because not many people in the Phillies bullpen have experience closing games in a pennant race or in playoff type situations. Real quick, guys, do you, either of you, Justin, Liz, have any final thoughts of a very busy Tuesday at the winter meetings? And we got a couple more days left while everybody's still in Vegas.
So Chase Utley shows up in Vegas today.
What's up with this?
The Dodgers baseball ops department. Like, look, I every time I see this, I'm not super surprised. He is, you know, SoCal born and bred. He's got much more, I don't know. He's got, I know, intensity, but also just he's not going to like go off on you. So he's in that vein. He is kind of chill. So I get why that just appeals to him a little more. But first, Jim Thome is advocating for Bryce Harper to go to the White Sox. Now Chase Utley's working for the Dodgers.
Utley finished his career with the Dodgers, who would have continued to pay him for another year. At, you know, they would have given him just $1 million just to stay on the roster because they love him. They love him over there. And I'm not surprised at all that they offered and he took it, because when would the Phillies have offered that to him? And why? I don't see the Phillies. I just don't see past players like that being part of these Phillies plans. The Phillies don't have a lot of recent history that they're super duper proud of, like actual recent history. So, you know, of course
I hear you, Liz. I need you to freak out about this with me.
I'm not. I'm really just happy that he's still connected with baseball and we might see pictures of his silver foxy head every now and then.
I'm not happy about it at all. And if he helps them get Bryce Harper, I'm going to have another discussion internally about Chase Utley with myself. I'm just going to say it right now.
I can't hate him.
Take a couple days off work, you know, really talk to yourself about Chase Utley.
Have some long walks, you know, just kind of internalize everything. And if they get Machado and he helps them get Bryce Harper, then I guess we're cool. But we'll see. And listen, again, folks, I don't think we're going to see Bryce Harper or Manny Machado sign here during the winter meetings, but it doesn't sound like the Phillies are done. It sounds like a couple more moves are coming here over the next couple of days while executives finish up things in Las Vegas at the winter meetings. And I'll have another edition of Hittin' Season coming up I'll be recording on Wednesday night. I know you guys are going to do a continued success, and we'll have some stuff up on the Patreon page as well. So that'll do it for episode number 239 of Hittin' Season. But again, make sure to head on over to Apple Podcasts and subscribe, rate, and review all of the Good Fight podcasts while you're there. And check out the Patreon. It's at patreon.com/Hittin' Season. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. I'll talk to you all next time right here on Hittin' Season.
I'm Michael Kist of Bleeding Green Nation, and I invite you, gentle listener, to join us for the best analysis of the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles in the business. BGN Radio provides you with the most informative preview shows, and the Kist and Solak show dives deep into all the scheme and X and O details you could ever want. Plus discussions with the industry's brightest minds, including former NFL players, and press conferences from the Eagles coaching staff to keep you up to date and informed every step of the way. Subscribe to Bleeding Green Nation today. Fly, Eagles, fly.